It is my joy to welcome you to today's podcast. Our prayer is that the Lord will minister to you in a special way during our time together.
We are continuing with a series that we began this month that's about relationships. Yes, you are right. And we've been doing topical messages on relationship. Our senior pastor began this month, the first week of this month, talking about unity, which is the foundation for any kind of relationship. And last week, we had Brother Anand Pillai speaking to us about husband and wife relationship, how we could build our marriages effectively to serve God and for the glory of God. And this morning, we would want to explore the foundations of building healthy and fulfilling relationships. When I say fulfilling and healthy relationship, I'm not talking about two people meeting and falling in love. Usually when we think of relationship, that's what comes to our mind. Nor am I speaking about husband and wife relationship. We heard that message last week. So I'm talking about all kinds of human relationships that we have within our family, in our workplaces, and in our neighborhood, and even in our church. Do you wish that some of those relationships could have been better? How many of you feel that way this morning, that I could have maintained a better relationship with my family members of my family, or with my colleagues and in the workplace and so on? Shall we look up unto the Lord before we look into His Word? Father, this morning, even as we come in Your name to meditate Your Word, I pray, O Father, that You would give us Your grace, O God. Give us ears that would listen, lives that would obey, and that we would glorify Your name. We thank You, Father, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning we are going to talk about two powerful forces that would define relationships. That is love and forgiveness. These elements are like a foundation of a sturdy bridge connecting hearts. You know, they are like foundations for a sturdy bridge connecting hearts. So love and forgiveness, they play a vital role. As I was looking for some illustration and anecdote, I stumbled upon the one that I found in the collection by our late pastor Stubbs. I thought this is appropriate when we talk about love and forgiveness. You know, this is what pastor had written there. A mouse looked through a crack in the wall to see a farmer and his wife opening a package. So the mouse got excited and thought there could be some item which it could steal or it could eat. And it was, aghast to discover that it was a mouse trap. And so the mouse, retreating to the farmyard, it went about announcing, "There is a mouse trap in the house. There is a mouse trap in the house." And the chicken raised her head and, looking at the mouse, said, "Mr. Mouse, I can tell you this. It could be of grave concern for you, but it's of no consequence to me. I cannot be bothered by these things." So the mouse turned to the pig and told him, "There is a mouse trap in the house." And the pig said, "I'm so very sorry, Mr. Mouse." It showed its sympathy. But the pig said, "There is nothing I can do about it. But certainly I would pray. You would be in my thoughts and you would be in my prayers." And then the mouse turned to the buffalo, who replied, "Mr. Mouse, a mouse trap? Am I in grave danger of a mouse trap?" So the mouse returned to the house, dejected, to face the situation all alone. That very night, the wife of the farmer had a sound of that mouse trap catching some prey. The farmer's wife rushed to see what was caught. In the darkness, she couldn't see, and it was a venomous snake, and its tail was caught in the mouse trap. And the snake bit the farmer's wife in the darkness, so the farmer rushed her to the hospital. And after a few days, she came back home, but the fever persisted. So the farmer cut that chicken and made chicken soup and gave it to her. And her sickness still persisted. And a number of people came visiting to sit with her, to be of help to her. So to feed them, the farmer butchered the pig to make lunch or dinner for them. The farmer's wife did not get well. In fact, she died. So when she died, a number of people came to mourn and be with the family. So he had to butcher the buffalo as well and make a nice feast for all of them. So the next time you hear that someone is facing a problem and think that it does not concern you, remember that. Remember that when the least of us is threatened, we are all at risk. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Relationship is a sweet gift from God. Sadly, because of the fallen nature of human beings, imperfections manifest in our relationships. We even tend to mess up relationships. I'm sure all of us seated here and online would agree with me. There were times that we messed up our relationships with our members of our family, or with colleagues and with neighbors and so on. That is why it is so important for us to look into God's word, to understand the biblical principles to build a healthy relationship and to nurture that relationship with our members of our family, with our neighbors and with our colleagues and even with church community. So as I said, we would look at two things, two elements this morning. There could be many more that contribute to a good relationship, but primarily we will look at love and forgiveness. You know, I was trying to Google the word love. You know what happened? I don't know that number would come up on the screen. I think it's 1,636 crore references appeared in 0.29 seconds on Google when you type love. And King James Version uses the word love 310 times. The point is that it is an all-pervasive element. We all know, recently we were talking about love much more than at any other point of time during the last week. And though it is all-pervasive, the point is it is in short supply when it comes to human relationships. You know, when we talk about love, I think the beginning point should be God's love, because God's love is so extravagant, so unconditional. All of us seated here, all of you who are there online, have experienced that love many times or at all the times. When God created Adam and Eve, what was the primary purpose? He wanted to have fellowship with them. He wanted to come. He wanted to show his love for them. In turn, he wanted to receive love from them. Adam and Eve loved God and had unbroken fellowship with him till the disobedience entered and broke that perfect relationship. Though as human beings, today we share those consequences, share the consequences of that sin, God did not abandon us. Thank God for that. He did not leave us at that state. He wanted to reestablish that relationship. He wanted to show that love. So he made this possible by sending his son Jesus Christ into the world. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for us. God still loves us, and He wants His children to be in intimate relationship with Him. And that relationship, He wants that to be dynamic, not just sometimes. It should be a growing relationship, growing in love for Him. And that is why being a Christian is not just making a weekly trip to the church. It is about getting into that relationship with Jesus. Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the doors, I will come and eat with him," he says. And so he is ready. And he will eat, and they would eat. We would eat with him. That's what the word says. So this morning, any of you seated here, or any of you online, if you have not experienced that relationship, it's time that you think about making Jesus as your personal Savior. All that you have to do is to ask Jesus to come into your life and ask for forgiveness for all the past things, and He would readily come. And if you would like to meet with any of us at the end of the service, some of our leaders and pastors would be here. You could talk to us. And if you are online, if you would like to get to know more about this love, get into that personal relationship, write to us at info@newlifeag.in. We would be happy to get in touch with you, talk about the love of Jesus in detail, so that every one of us would be able to experience that love. And when we talk about God's love, that leads us to embrace that love in our human relationships as well. Because God loves us so much, as His children, He wants us to show that love in all of our relationship with Him. When Jesus was asked about the most important commandment, what did He say? He emphasized on love for both Father God as well as for fellow human beings. That's what Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40 say. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Very familiar verse for all of us. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the verse says, and all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, essentially, Jesus is saying, if you do these two, everything would fall in place. And this is the sure foundation for every other thing as a believer that you and I want to do. And John chapter 3, verses 34 to 35, I'm reading from the Living Bible. It says, I'm giving a new commandment to you now. Love each other just as much as I love you. Your strong love for each other will prove the world that you are my disciples. So Jesus very clearly says, the way I loved you, the way Father God loved you, I also want you to love others. So this morning, where do we stand? Do we exhibit that love in our relationships with people, with our spouses, with our children, with the members of our extended family, in our workplaces, in our neighborhood? This verse almost serves as a blueprint for our relationship, because the verse says we have to mirror that love. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14 says it, do everything in love. You know, everything is included. Nothing is exempted here. Whatever we do, we have to do in love. So when we think of that, what is our motive? Are our motives right? Many times we do things just to please somebody or just to put up a show because people are watching. But God is also mindful of our attitude. Do we do things out of love? The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 lists love as the first thing when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So I believe if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, love naturally flows from you. If you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, the love that is there in you would naturally overflow and touch other lives. The Bible talks about, gives a number of instructions in our relationship. And I have put love your enemies as first. A very familiar verse again, Matthew 5:44. It says, I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Is this not love at its highest form? It's a quite radical love. Many times we fail to realize this or put this into practice. You know, recently somebody sent me a link for a prayer. So I joined that prayer for some time. It was on YouTube. A particular person came up and prayed and all kinds of curses upon somebody who she or everybody thinks is responsible for all that is happening in this nation. I was thinking in my heart, is that the prayer God wants us to make? I'm sure you are all familiar. God doesn't want us to curse anybody or pray against anyone. But God wants us to show that love and pray for them. In fact, the Word of God tells us to bless them, bless our enemies. When practiced, it has the life-transforming power. You know, people are just taken aback when you show love, when they are so much in opposition to you, when they are so much against you. They expect you to retaliate. They expect you to do something or say something. But when you show God's love, it is difficult, no doubt. When we consciously choose to do this, what happens? We break the power of hatred and revenge. And it ushers in an atmosphere of peace and reconciliation. So next time, remember, whoever it could be, you think the person is against or working against your interest, all that we have to do is to show our love. Go down on your knees and pray with that love. That's not a human love. That love that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit would fill your hearts. And it should overflow, and you should be able to pray for that person, and you see the results. And then that takes us to the next point, loving your family. Probably we think it's so obvious what is there to talk about it. Our brother Anand Pillai spoke so much about love between husband and wife last week. And also about our relationship, how it should be with the members of the extended family. Ephesians chapter 5 gives a number of guidelines. And it begins with, the passage begins with guidelines for husband and wife. So that they could bring about unity between themselves and strengthen marriage. So these are not some rules and regulations that you and I have to apply so that we would keep somebody in control and we would control somebody's life and you would establish your leadership. Certainly not. It's only a discipline God is talking about so that our life could go on well. Our family life can be built up. The passage, if you read those verses from 21 to 34 in Ephesians 5, it at least talks about love four times. You know, whatever you do, you will have to do it in love. Husbands ought to love their wives. How? Like the way Christ loved the church. That's what it says. We just talked about the love of Christ, an unconditional love, sacrificial love. That's how husbands ought to show their love to their wives. And they are to love the way they love themselves. That's what the Word of God says. And wives ought to submit to their husbands in love, because the comparison is how the church submits itself to Christ, the same way wife should submit herself to husband. Ephesians 6, the next chapter, talks about various other relationships. How in the family, children should honor their parents. And there are also instructions for parents to love their children, to bring them up in a proper way. And all those instructions are there. I'm not going into the details. I'm sure we are so familiar. So many times from here, we have heard messages about building our families and relationship between spouses and with children and so on. And it's a time for us to take stock and see, where do we stand? Do I exhibit that love of Christ in my relationship with my husband or with my wife or with my children? Bible talks about number of things. You know, number of places there are people who showed that kind of love. Even in the Old Testament, if you think about Ruth and Naomi, that's what a model for a love between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law and vice versa. A good lesson for every one of us to learn. And when it comes to David and Jonathan, the Word of God says in 1 Samuel 20:17, Jonathan loved David as he loved his own life. Another kind of love that we find. The story of a good Samaritan is a good lesson for every one of us to love strangers, and especially when they are in difficulty and trouble. And the early church, recently during the fasting prayer, we've been meditating from those chapters in the book of Acts. And repeatedly we came across instances where the early church showed their love. The believers came together. They had everything in common. They broke bread together. They prayed together. They stood with each other. What an example for all of us to follow. That shared love was demonstrated by the early church. I was reading about three kinds of love from a website called Bible.ca. I found that interesting. It says, the first kind is if love. It is conditional. If you do this, I will love you. If you don't do this, then I don't love you. And so on. If you give me gifts, then I love you more. And if you give me a diamond ring, my love would be greater, and so on. You know, but all of us, as we know, this appears like a legal contract. You know, if you do this, then this would be valid. If you don't do this, the contract is gone. Many marriages fall because of this kind of love. So it could be applicable to other relationships as well. It's a kind of conditional love. It cannot stand. How many times we did that in our own lives? It's for us to raise this question and say, if I'm guided by if love, and this love is bound to fail. You know, it shows in a way that this kind of love should be earned. Love cannot function that way. And it talks about the second kind of love, because love. The because of love says what? Because, for example, you are now young and beautiful, I would love you now. Because you are wealthy, my love would be greater for you. Because you are popular, I would want to love you, and so on. Once again, this love is also doomed to failure. If our love is because of certain things or certain conditions, that's going to be unstable. That's going to be very fickle. It's not real love. And the third love, this site lists, is in spite of love. Well, when I saw this, I thought, okay, this is the love that we should be looking at. In spite of love. What does that mean? In spite of your shortcomings, difficulties, in spite of everything, still I would love you. I'm not going to look at those things. That is true love. Is it not unconditional? There is no if or there is no because here. It is unconditional. And I was reminded of the verse in Romans 5:8 when I was reading this. It says, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In spite of we being so unworthy, in spite of we being found in sin, God did not look at our worthiness to send his, Father God did not look at our worthiness to send his only begotten Son. He just did it out of love for us, in spite of all of our failings, shortcomings, and no conditions laid. Jesus came and became an atoning sacrifice for us. I think this is the love that we should be looking at. And this is the love that would build relationships. And this is the love that would strengthen our relationships. When we are able to overlook, when we are able to ignore some of those things, perceived wrongs or real wrongs, still you would love people. So that takes me to the next point about about forgiveness and reconciliation. Both are interconnected, and both are foundations for good relationship. I found this beautiful quotation from C.S. Lewis. He says, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. So true. So true. It's a very good idea till I am involved in it. Forgiveness is an essential part of one another, in loving one another. Without this, you cannot love one another. You cannot have that kind of love, in spite of love. And certainly it helps in restoring relationship and nurturing relationships, and it helps us to continue those relationships. As followers of Christ, we are to forgive and seek reconciliation in our relationship. You know, what happens when you refuse to forgive? It hurts us basically, because there is so much of bitterness, so much of resentment building in us, that it affects your emotional state, your mind, and many times doctors say your health is also affected when you have that unforgiving spirit in you. So God is speaking to us to forgive, let go some of those people. In his letter to Philemon, Apostle Paul is writing about forgiveness. The book of the single chapter of Philemon is between Titus and Hebrew. And Paul is appealing to Philemon about forgiveness, asking him to exercise forgiveness and bring about reconciliation. Paul's immediate audience was Philemon, but then you and I are part of that audience as well when we read this short letter. Paul is urging him to forgive his runaway slave, Onesimus, because this slave stole something from him and ran away. And while he was in Rome, he met with Paul and he got saved. He became a Christian. And now Paul is writing to Philemon, asking him to accept this person back, Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And when you go back home, you can read that letter to see how persuasive Paul is. He could have imposed on him, but he didn't do it. Because the right thing for Paul is to do is to appeal to Philemon, because he is a respected leader at the church in Colossae. So he is appealing. Here is a chance for him to model Christ's love. So Paul is appealing to him. Paul makes the request because it was the right thing to do. Finally, Paul also tells Philemon that if you cannot do it, by chance, if you are not willing to do it, he says what? Just put it in my account. He says that should come into Paul's account. But nevertheless, you should forgive. The theological word for this is imputation. That is what exactly Christ did for us on the cross. Not because he was a sinner. He came on your behalf and my behalf to atone for your sin and my sin. How hard is it to forgive? I want us to take a moment to see, look within and see how hard is it for us to forgive. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. There are a number of verses in the Word of God. The Lord's Prayer talks about it. In other places, the Word of God says, if you don't forgive, he or you, your sins also will not be forgiven. There are a number of instances where we could talk about it. Mark chapter 11 talks about when you come praying, if you have anything against your brother, what should you do? You should first set that right, the Word of God says, so that your Father in heaven would also hear your prayer and forgive your trespasses. It is all in the context of human relationship. Even if you have, even seated here, if you have anything against anyone, God says, I will not hear your prayer till you set right with your brother and sister. Even if the person is not present here, he expects us to release that forgiveness, release that pardon. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, he lays emphasis on the right relationship with human beings by answering Peter's question. Peter comes and says, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins? Is it seven times? God says, no, it's not seven times, but 77 times. In other words, any number of times we should be able to forgive. In other words, God expects his children to deal with bad situations and people according to his values. Let me say that again. God expects his children to deal with bad situations and people according to his values. I think if we keep this in mind, we would not go wrong in our human relationship. I read about Edwin Stanton, who was a war secretary in President Lincoln's cabinet. And this man, Stanton, would insult President Lincoln publicly a number of times. He called him the original gorilla because of President Lincoln's looks and also his way of speech. And a number of times he had insulted him publicly. So when Lincoln became president, what did he do? He made him his minister. He made him his war secretary. And then the account says when President Lincoln was shot dead in the Ford Theater, this man, Stanton, was standing, shedding tears. And this is what he said. Here lies the greatest ruler of mankind. Not just that, actively he pursued the case of this assassination and he brought the guilty to punishment. That's what it says. All that, why? Lincoln could have done, he could have just plain ignored him. He could have taken action because he had all the power when he became president. But all because he chose to let go some of those insults. And he showed the love of Christ. I thought it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful for every one of us to model this. Joseph in the Old Testament is an example. He readily forgave his brothers. We all know that story. And he was in a position of power and authority. He could have jailed them. He could have got them killed for all that they did. You know, it is so difficult, especially when you have the power, when you have the authority, when you have right connections. not to do something. I have gone through that situation. When somebody wrongs you, it's so easy to call somebody and set that person right, especially when you know that somebody whom you know can be of help. Or you have the power and authority. Look at Joseph. He could have just plain put them, executed them, or put them behind bars. But the word of God says he forgave them at that first instance. You know, while doing the ICOM diploma in theology, in one of the books, what I read, it stuck with me. It says this: rights are civil and secular concepts. Period. Rights are civil and secular concepts. What does that mean? You don't have any right. People can come and violate. It's okay. Because it's not a Christian concept. That's what it says. What a learning from this book. In other words, as a believer in Christ, you should be willing to be wronged. That's what Joseph did. That's what Jesus did. And not retaliate. And forget all those so-called rights of yours. And allow God to work in that situation. Forgiveness comes when you release the situation or the circumstance to God. This morning, the question is, am I willing to release that person or situation into God's hands? God will take care. Love is so powerful. As I conclude, I want to say this. Love is so powerful. Forgiveness is more powerful. But when we put these two together, it releases a supernatural power. Amen? When you put love and forgiveness together, it becomes supernatural. So this morning, as I conclude, I want us to take a moment. Think of somebody who has wronged you, against whom you have some bitterness, some unforgiving spirit. Shall we all stand for a moment? I want us to think, even before we leave this place, allow God's word to work in you. I'm sure all of us seated here at some time or other, we had this problem with people. Even now, it could be an ongoing problem because of some property dispute in the family, because of some other misunderstanding in the family. We've tried everything, probably. You went to court, and the case will go on. And still the bitterness is growing in you. Or you may have some unforgiving thing against a colleague of yours in your workplace, or against your boss, or against your own spouse sometimes, or your children. It could be anyone. I want you to place your hand in the heart and say, God, help me. Even as you step out at the end of the service, would you make that one phone call or send that message asking for forgiveness? Whatever it may be, learn to release this into God's hands. Release those people, release those situations into God's hands, and He will do the rest. So I want you to leave this place with that decision. Even as you step out, you would make that one phone call of reconciliation. Ask forgiveness from people. Let go that property. Let go that money. Let go that position. It's fine. It's fine. It doesn't matter. In eternity, what matters is we show that love of Christ in all of our relationships. So may God help us to restore that particular relationship which you are thinking of even as you lay your hand on your heart and prayed that prayer. May God help you to forgive people and show that love of Christ in all your relationships. Father, we thank you that this morning we could come and hear your voice, and we pray even as we leave this place that you would release your grace, O God, into our lives, so that, Lord, that we would be able to exhibit that love, the love of the Father, the love of the Son. And we pray that we would not hold grudge against anyone, bitterness against anyone, that you would help us. Even today would be a day of transformation and that release of that blessing into our lives, O Father, even as we release that forgiveness into the lives of people. Help us as we go. Help us to have a good week, and we pray that your blessings would abound and that we would consciously build and nurture human relationships, O God, with your help for your glory. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. May God bless you.
Thank you for taking time to listen. If you would like more information about our church or would like to make a comment, please mail us at info@newlifeag.in. God bless you.